We're at the seaplane base. It's Saturday. We've come full circle. And we're sitting here talking with Paul C. Hayford, the chairman of the seaplane base, and he's got his hands full out here. He's got a monster on his hands, and that would be known as the Martin Mars.
It's and not a monster. It's cool.
It's as big as the 747 I used to fly. Come on.
It is.
Almost.
How cool is it? I mean, just look at it. How you can't do
it's
better
very
than
cool
this.
To look at. Yes. You know, one of the things that I find very, very sad, being an ex-Pan Am pilot myself, is that there's no flying Clippers anymore. And there aren't any Clippers, as a matter of fact. They were all scrapped, and I think someone might be digging one up out of the ocean and trying to restore it.
Really?
As we speak. Yeah, I heard rumor of that. But this is the only example we have of a big flying boat, like from the old days.
Yes, and this is the last airworthy example. They own two of these aircraft. This one is the Hawaiian Mars. They also own the Philippine Mars. But the Philippine is currently out of annual. It's apparently down for maintenance. And they're trying to decide the fate of that airplane. We're all afraid it's going to go to a museum or something, and that will.
Where? What museum could fit it, though? It'd be like putting a spruce goose in.
I mean, well, that's a good point, and I think to try to make a hangar big enough for it is a big undertaking. And I will tell you that the Colson Group maintains that aircraft so well, I don't think they could bear to sell it to somebody that would just put it outside and leave it to rot.
Right.
I actually heard the crew talking about that.
Kermit Weeks, obviously, might be a good selection because he would probably build a facility around it.
Yeah, Kermit and I talked about that because he flew it here.
Yeah.
And I was kind of twisting his arm because I'm thinking, well, maybe if Kermit buys this, we could have it come back here more often.
Right, the flying museum example. And he could make the room.
And I kind of thought that, gee, only problem is to fly this thing into his lake by his museum, he might be able to fly it in, but can he get it out? And the pilots quickly said, we'll have to keep it light, but it'll go out of that lake easily.
Hmm.
And that would be cool. So I'd love to see it go to somebody like Kermit, but obviously there has been interest in it from other parties. And
but it's being useful. It's fighting fires, it's fighting it in a good way. Talk about some of the specifics of this thing. It's pretty incredible.
Actually, I learned a lot this week. The pilots are not celebrity-like. They don't like to talk.
No, everyone's seen that movie with, the one in Laos. What is that again? That movie, the one where they're in Laos and CIA movie, and they're not supposed to be there. And Robert Downey Jr. That they're that style of pilot. They don't integrate with.
Well, they're firefighters.
Non-flying community very they're, much. It's
they're working.
They're on their own.
They fight fires. That's what they do. So they're not.
They do a lot of standing by and then going. And
they're not an air show pilot, but they're. I got to tell you, when they first came here, the pilot and I at pre-meetings, they flew over to Oshkosh to meet with us months before they came because there's a lot of logistics to work out to have that airplane floating out here in this bay, and we instantly connected. Because we're both seaplane guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of like got away from all the other stuff, let everybody else handle that, and talked about how we're going to fly this airplane here. And actually, both the pilots are like the coolest guys you'll ever see. They're never excitable. But they also don't like crowds of people because when they do go places where it's not an air show, they're the celebrity.
Right.
And everybody crowds them, and they just. But I will say, over the week, I've gotten to be really good friends with all of them. They got a great crew. I've never met a nicer group of people to work with, and they're fun. And through that, I've heard a lot of cool stories. I've learned a lot about the airplane.
Share some of that with us.
I'd love to. Simple facts of the airplane. The airplane has a gross weight of 162,000 pounds. It has a 200-foot wingspan. Same as a 747.
Yep.
Each engine holds 95 gallons of oil. Each engine burns between 4 and 8 gallons of oil an hour.
Oh.
So just imagine. So every time you fly this airplane for not even a real long jaunt, you can get a couple 55-gallon drums of oil just to top off the oil. The airplane will fly around 200 miles an hour I think it's maybe a little faster than 200 knots. The takeoff, on takeoff power, it burns 1,000 gallons an hour. The 4 2,500 horsepower engines. And
there's airplanes there.
Airplane noise. I like airplane noise.
Yeah, I love airplane noise.
So anyhow, the 10,000 horsepower, at cruise settings, high cruise, it can burn 600 gallons an hour. The cost to drop water with the, I'm trying to think what they call it, where they add a chemical agent to the water that makes it kind of clot.
Mm-hmm.
It's more effective on putting out fires.
It's slimy.
It is. We were talking about the cost of it, and it adds up to a lot of money per drop, but they can drop a lot of water in a day. I heard yesterday this particular crew has a record of around 30 drops in a day.
Hmm. That's
so
a lot.
8,000 gallons of water in one drop. All right, well, actually, it's 7,200. It has a 6,000-gallon gas tank. The twin to this airplane has a gas tank that's twice that size, 12,000 gallons.
So it can get a farther reach, I guess, to get in where that needs to go?
Well, when these airplanes were built in the 40s, the prototype was actually designed to be a bomber. And the Navy, I guess, decided after it was built that it was too large and too slow for a bomber, so they converted it to a troop transport, and it would haul, I think, 188 people. And after Pearl Harbor was attacked, the Hawaiian Mars, and then later, I guess, the Philippine Mars, were used to transport all of the information, all the materials back to Pearl Harbor to replenish all the damage that was done. So it flew back and forth and back and forth. They flew here from British Columbia in 9 hours on a half a tank of fuel. So imagine how far they could go with the other airplane with...
Yeah. Twice fuel.
With 12,000 gallons of fuel.
Well, I mean, it was designed to cross oceans.
Yes.
So.
Yes. The airplane draws 6 feet of water. That was our biggest challenge. In fact, Kermit Weeks said to me, he said, hey, how come I had to park the Sunderland on the other side of the lake? I said, I don't know. You didn't ask me. We literally went out for a full day and took a pole and measured the bay depth. We marked over 500 marks, and we put them on a computer screen to show the pilots where the, like, anything red was, don't go there. You don't have 9 feet of water. And that's what they wanted. There's two anchors out there. The main anchor that holds the airplane is 12,000 pounds.
Oh.
And the other day we had strong winds and big waves, and the airplane started to move that anchor. The crew went out to the airplane to start it up in order to hold it at anchor. So it's a mammoth of an airplane. And I will tell you, to stand here and look at it is not, it doesn't do justice. But when you look at it in the water, look at where the top of the vertical fin is. It's at the treetops of cottonwood trees that we have out here that are 4 feet in diameter. It is just a monster of an airplane.
Oh, it is. And what a treat to have it here. I mean, how did that come to be?
You know, I'm not really sure how it all came to be. 10 years ago, I talked about getting the Martin Mars here. One of my friends had gone out there and written an article for the Seaplane Pilots Association probably 25 years ago. And I've read that article probably 5 times. I've watched the Discovery Channel specials on this airplane, the other documentaries about what they do with this airplane. And it was always kind of in the back of my mind that I'd like to get this. And maybe it was the power of suggestion. One day, a vice president at EA, Rick Larson, let me know that I think we're going to get the Mars there. I don't remember talking to him about it, but we did talk. I mean, we talked over the years about it a lot. And I knew there would be a lot of logistics, and I was a little concerned, so I didn't push it real hard. But once they said, we think we can do it, I'm all in. We're going to make it happen, whatever it takes. So to have the biggest flying seaplane in the world at Oshkosh, at EA's seaplane base, I was teasing people. I said, this might have to be the year of my retirement. It's like a football player, a quarterback, taking his team to the Super Bowl and winning. and wondering, if I go back, will I ever do that? But we might come up with something better. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Be hard to one-up this thing.
In size.
Well, yeah, in size. The other day, the pilots did a flyby.
There's cool things, but...
They did a flyby right over the cut, as we call it, the opening, and over the airplanes. And the crowd was just awed. You don't know how big that airplane is until it flies right over your head.
Until it comes right through here, yeah.
Well, 200 feet away, probably, yeah. I'm guessing. And I was on the microphone talking to the crowd, and it was the coolest airplane sound I've ever heard. And I did something that the crowd didn't notice because they were too busy looking at the airplane. I took my microphone and I did this.
You put it up.
I held it as high as I could, and it reverberated through the PA. Oh. So they got a little extra engine noise.
Which you really don't need with that airplane. It's plenty loud.
No, you don't need that. But I can't even describe the experience.
Do you know what engines are on that?
Right, 33-something. I don't remember
Monsters.
The model.
Yeah.
Two rows of 9 cylinders.
Mm.
And
they're loud. I mean, you know, we watched it fly by over it in the air show on the main grounds, and they are loud.
An interesting,
plenty loud. Yeah.
They are loud. The airplane also looks like it's standing still when it flies, but it's moving pretty fast. The water drop speed is 135 miles an hour, and it looks like it's coming to a stop. So it's just an amazing airplane. I learned something when they flew it here. They flew it here at 11,500 feet. That airplane has no heat and no air conditioning. And
it is what it is.
That's how it was built. So they will wear snowmobile suits and bring blankets along to fly the airplane places.
Jeez. To fight fires, and there's an opposite.
And there's a, and there's a lot of you know, air leaks in the airplane.
Yeah, because it's old.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, Paul.
All right.
We're going to come back and talk more seaplane stuff in just a moment. Jay Monchi, we're on the fly at the seaplane base. You're listening to EA Radio.